You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Richard. Hey, good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all fathers out here. And of course, congratulations to the Raptors. It helped me prepare for my preaching. So it was like a tough week to prepare for the preaching, like games 5 and 6. I would like to focus on the preaching material, but then again, the games are more interesting too. So anyway, but then again, Pastor Richard was saying, like, everyone started to pray. And that's also my kickoff for my preaching, eh? How do we pray? Who do we pray to? Like, everyone's praying. Of course, the Warriors team is also praying, right? Of course, they would like their team to win. And then, of course, they're also praying for their players, right? Everyone's praying, like, prayers up for KD and Clay. Prayers for healing everywhere on social media, on the news and everything. But then again, question is, who do they pray? Like, how do they pray? Do they really know who they're speaking with? When they say prayer for healing, what do they mean by prayers for healing? Do they really know? Have they confirmed that the God who they're praying to is really a God who heals, right? So we don't know. But then again, our series here teaches us how to pray. How do we establish ourselves towards God who created heavens and earth, and then everything else follows? And He's the God who really heals. He's the one who hears the prayer, who knows our hearts even before we speak. So that's a good segue to my prayer preaching today. So let's just recap our series about Teach Us to Pray. So we started off with prayer basics, as kicked off by Pastor Bert like 2 Sundays ago. So it talks about preparing our hearts, making sure that our hearts are aligned with who God is. I mean, who are we revering to? And then preparing in terms of what's inside of us that we are going to prepare to Him. And then, of course, setting up a time, making sure that we establish a routine in our prayers, that we're just not praying out of like expression of out of the need of the moment, but we're being taught to make sure it's a routine itself, as we are like working out in a gym. Like, if you don't set up a routine in yourselves, you don't build muscles, you don't grow up. But instead, let's set up a time to pray, to communicate with God, to have a quiet time. Then, of course, persevere. And then it also gave us some practical applications on how we pray. And then last week, we also talked about sincere prayer, where then we were taught about, before we even pray, sometimes we have barriers within ourselves, how we view prayers, how we view ourselves against God who we are talking to. Then, of course, who God is, that somehow establishes, hey, maybe God will not hear this type of prayer. So you kind of like hesitate. Maybe only these types of prayer are being heard. So these kinds of like overview, like barriers could hinder you to coming up to God. Then also we've learned about the essence of prayer. And then which was led into sincere prayer, which we can have actually an expression of lament and praise. We can express to God. He's not going to be like, hey, wait a minute, I don't want to hear that prayer. That's not qualified. No, God can hear each and every type of prayer that we can express. Our anguish, our pains, all our suffering, we can express. So He can carry those. Okay, He can hear those. Then, of course, the praise. He's worthy. He's worthy to be exalted. Worship, like glory all yours to God, right? And then, of course, we are taught about ABCs to the prayer itself. We acknowledge the reality that we are praying to God, not downplaying or discounting what's been happening to us. We are allowed to express the reality, but we're also saying that we should submit that reality to the ultimate reality that it is God who's sovereign, He's our God who reigns over each and every situation. He can understand what's going on in our lives, and He can figure it out. He's got your back. And then that leads us to meditation, meaning, yes, we can pray to God, we can express everything, but our topic for today in the part 3 is prayer and meditation. Meditation is preparing ourselves. That way we can position ourselves before we pray, before we can express ourselves. We know who we're speaking with and how we were going to express ourselves. So Let's kick off today's topic then. Let's start with this. Meditation is about this. Right? So imagine yourself like out on the beach, relaxing, chilling. It's almost summer. I think the summer starts two Fridays from now, yeah, officially. Imagine yourself in a beach, relaxed, all clear. And this is not a dream thing. This is actually happening. In fact, what if this is your life and you're required to say, you're required to walk along white sandy beaches, sit under palm trees, and swim with turtles as they soak up the sun. Nice, right? Not only that, in the era of social media, you are required to keep a blog and a photo diary. How can that be? That's not possible, Alex. Of course, it is possible. It is really for sure. It says here, you can stay rent-free on an island with a pay of $150,000, salary package, which includes return airfares and travel insurance. How good would that be, right? And this is for real. You can search. You can Google it later. Listen to me first. Okay. So it's a real job. Queensland, Australia Tourism posted this. For 6 months, all you have to do is do this. I mean, sit on the beach, take a picture, put it on social media, campaign for the tourism. It's real, my friends. But then again, if you are going to take this job, by the way, it's only one person. What happens after this, right? Even if you make it, which is one out of like 6 billion in the world, like you make this job, 6 months after, you go back to the business of Toronto, right? The fun winter, right? Imagine, so the realities of life will start kicking in. This one may be good only for 6 months and only for one person, right? And this is what we're being taught in the secular world. Like, hey, you want to get away from the realities of life, the difficulties, whatever, just meditate. Go to the beach, clear your mind. Yes, focus on one thing and one thing alone, right? But then again, the secular definition of meditation does what it says. Clear your mind, focus on one thing. When you go back to your reality, it's there again. What do I do? Do I go back to the beach? No, you can't, right? And that's where the spiritual way of meditating comes into picture. Like, yes, we acknowledge our reality. We can express the lament to God. We can express all our difficulties, and God can take those. But we focus on one thing and one thing alone too, that God is sovereign, right? He can make things work. Even if we go back to Toronto after staying 6 months here, we know God has got our back, right? We are not going to worry. Even if I don't have to worry about paying my bills, I don't have to worry about what about my children back home. If you're working from here, like on a like contract, right? You don't have to worry about my kids, my parents, and everything. You are assured God got your back, right? So let's dive in to a topic for the day. So prayer and meditation goes hand in hand. So meditation is our preparation to prayer. It establishes, okay, how we will converse with God. As Tim Keller would say, prayer is continuing a conversation that God has started through His Word and His grace, which eventually becomes a full encounter with Him. So we learned from last week that it's God who first reached out to us. That way we can converse. But then again, as we carry on this conversation, we need to dwell into the Word of God, hear what His heartbeat is. We know we would like to know who God is that we are speaking with. What can He do? What situation can He handle? And all these things. And we can only know if we are diving into the Word of God and through the Bible. If we meditate on this Word that we say written in the Bible. So therefore, it's a two-way conversation. God speaks through His Word. We express everything that we are going through Him. But we fill it up with substance based on who God is, as it is written in the Bible. So our scripture reference for today is found in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, where it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." So imagine it, of the 150 chapters of Psalms, It started off with this: blessed is the man who does what? Delight in the law of the Lord. Okay, dives into the Word of God and meditates on it day and night. It's not like only as needed, only when I encounter this, only when I need something, that's when into a dive into the Word of God. No, we meditate on it day and night, regardless of our situations, whether in up or down situations, we will read the Word and we will hear from God. And what does the psalmist assures us of? That he is like the one who delights in the Lord, on the Word of the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in season. So in all seasons of life, you will still yield fruits and your leaf does not wither. In all that you do, he does, is it prospers. So that's where we will dive into today, where when we can pick up 3 points, you know, as we learn from the psalmist here. So first off, it says, I would like to say, we need to seek the source. Okay? We want to seek the source, which is the Word of God, which is establishing who God is. Yes, we know He's the Creator. Yes, we know He's the God of Sovereign. But personally, who do we really know God is? Right? We need to seek that. And then second, seasons of life may throw us off balance here and there, right? But we need to stand our ground. We need to keep diving on the Word of God, knowing what can God speak about my situation. Or even if you don't have anything, like you don't have, lucky for you if you are, if you don't have any like difficult situations that you are, at least keep on diving into the Word, meditate on it. It's like equipping yourself. That way, when you encounter the situation, you have some sort of an equipment tool. Hey, enemy, I have this. Boom, right? Sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. You are ready, right? Then, of course, as we grow, diving into the Word every day, it's like the tree trying to nourish itself. You'll become strong. Then the third one is, it's not for your own self too. Yes, God would like you to be strong, but God would like to show yourself strong that others may be led into, hey, how did you do that? How can you go through all those things and still you're strong? It's an opportunity for us to showcase because of God, only because of God. So, let's proceed. Number one, seek the source. So, as water is a tree, the Word of God is our spiritual food. We have to constantly nourish ourselves, extract, draw nourishment from the water, right? And it, which is our revelation, God's revelation of Him through His Word. We would like to know Him personally, who God is. Not someone who's out there as testified by someone. We would like us for ourselves to witness who God really is, as it says in the Bible. When they said the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, why do they always say God who made everything and led us through all those difficulties? God who parted the Red Sea. Who is that God that they're talking about? We are being encouraged to dive into it and witness by ourselves, right? He is not a God who's out there, like extraterrestrial, celestial body, that when we pray, our Father, who may be out there in heaven somewhere, no, our Father who art in heaven, we have this personal relationship that we can come to Him. The good, good Father we can prove. So if we can show that slide, right, we ourselves would like to have these all descriptors, all characters of God within ourselves, right? On your notes, in every situation, you can say, God is omnipotent. God is the sustainer. God is the Father. God who is holy. Okay? We are being encouraged to know that by ourselves. So how do you do that? Of course, we dive into the Word, the God who is infinite, omnipotent, loving, and holy. It's all written in the Word of God. So let's see some example of scriptures, we say. God who is faithful, right? When someone says God who is faithful, how can they say that? Where is it in the Bible, right? Dive into it. In Deuteronomy, it says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love and with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Imagine from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, down to David, down to Peter, Paul, John, and to Pastor Richard, Pastor Bert, right? To 1,000 generation, to us, to Josh, to Gab, and all their children. He was faithful. He has been faithful with me, and I know it's confirmed here. I mean, it says here, 1,000 generations down through my great grandchildren, he will be faithful as well. Next, wise, a God who is wise, full of respect, unchanging wisdom. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Right? So if we lack wisdom, we are assured that he's God. You can come to God who is full of this wise words that we can glean on and learn from as well. Then he's also just, merciful, and gracious. The Lord who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kind. When we go through situations, like, we are not like perfect, right? We can make mistakes, wrong decisions, right? Sometimes we punish ourselves before even God punishes us, right? I don't know if you've done that, but I've done it many times until now. I'm still trying to punish myself for what has happened like 10, 15, 20 years ago. I'm still going through that. But then again, no. God is gracious, slow to anger. He even sent his son for us to experience that abundance in life, for us to prove his mercy and his grace. Right, so those are examples of the words that we can dive into and we can learn by meditating, by gleaning on the words of God. We have learned, set a time. Set your routines. You Bible version app or the Bible app. Choose a proper Bible reading plan, something that matches your demographics, your generation. Use that, and each and every time, you have your Bible reading plan. Have your journal as well, and take down notes. Okay, that's that way you have some reference of your own too. So next, stand your ground. As I mentioned, we will go through different seasons of life. And just like the passing of the seasons, here's the thing. It says in the Psalms 1, he's like a tree planted by the streams of water. How nice. A tree beside the water. What do you need to grow a tree? You need water and you're beside it. You are assured somehow of a constant supply of water. But different seasons as well doesn't assure you that the water is always in abundance. Correct? It may sometimes go down very low level. Sometimes it's overflowing, even flooding. Or worse, it could dry up. Right? What do you do? Right? So that's the time that you start digging in. Like a tree. The roots doesn't stop where the water really is. As soon as it starts to dry up, it gets deeper and deeper and wider, trying to look for where's that water that I used to draw nourishment from. That's what we're encouraged as well here. That in seasons of life, which summer, spring, it's blooming, right? Everything. But we will always expect after summer, fall and winter. We cannot stay, time out, God. It's already October. Can we go back to March and become spring again? No. We will always have to go through these gloomy season. What do we do, right? How do we ride along that season of life? And even in our spiritual life, that's part of the realities of life. We will always have difficulties and challenges of life because we are still living in this world. And even John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." Right? Seasons of life, difficulties of life. It's the enemy's way, one way that they can he can steal the joy of life, kill your hopes, okay, and destroy your self-esteem. Like all the difficulties, these are the things that will sort of start challenge and try to waver your faith in Christ Jesus and the Lord. But then Jesus assured us, as he says here, "I have come that they have a life and have it to the full or in abundance." Meaning, yes, it's a reality. We will go through these difficulties in life, but there's always a God who is ready to rescue us. How do we know that? Again, dive into the Word. Okay, read about You have your routine, you have your meditations day and night. And then again, as I mentioned, in ups and downs of life, keep on reading, keep on learning about God, because you will never know when you're going to need this encouragement, right? So how do we practically do this? So some questions, as you go through reading the verses, reading the scriptures, when you have your devotions, try to ask these questions, right? That way you can probe, you can filter through, okay, what is God speaking to me? What is God encouraging me about? So these are some of the questions that we can go through. Like, am I living in light of this? Meaning the scriptures that we will be reading. What difference does this make? If I believe and held to this, how would that change things? Right? Change things, or maybe change our perspective, right? Is there something that I must stop doing? Or is there something I should start doing? Meaning, the Bible can also mean, one, encouraging us, giving us strength, but it can also be a reflection, hey, you're doing something that's not right. Right? Sometimes it's an open rebuke, right? Into your face, what do you do? Close the Bible, and then, that's not for me. No. It's time for you to say, I'm sorry, God, I hurt you. Okay, I did this. Then it leads you to stop doing what you're doing. Right? Or, what might God be showing this to me today? Why am I being shown this scripture? Is it really for me? Is there something that I'm not aware of? What is going in my life that this Bible verse is relevant? Or is this something for me too? Maybe something that you could ask. Because we'll never know. Again, these are some scripture reference or revelations unto you that either you use it for yourself or keep in your back pocket. That sometime you may use it or sometime you may be able to share to someone. So let's just try. Let's try these questions. Let's just run through a couple of scriptures today and run through it. So, fear not, for I am with you. Right? If you run into this scripture, it's an assurance of, like, God is our protector. Okay, do not be afraid of what you're going through. It may be scary on the secular lenses of your eyes, but then God will always be there. Okay, He will not. He will help us. He will be always there to help you for the situation that you are in. A couple more. If you need wisdom of about situations that you have to go, you're going through, decisions that you have to make, right? How do I weigh? Do I go through this route where there are some risks that I will be taking? What are the trade-offs if I go this route? Okay, sometimes it's difficult weighing, balancing between the two. Right? Of course, God is always willing. Hey, James says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. Right? That's even there, ready for us. God, right beside us, waiting for you to just say it. Okay? And then, of course, if you are going through some illnesses or you have a family who is going through a situation of medical situation, God is our healer. Right? And this one, right, this is one of the, always been used as a word, that by His stripes, we are healed. This is something that you can hang on to. Okay? If you go through illnesses, diseases, or your family, you can refer to this every time. And then a couple more. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You have a situation that seems to be unexplainable anymore, unrational or irrational. So something that you cannot explain using the parameters of this world. Lord, I don't understand this anymore. Okay, I'm so anxious. But then again, if you submit it unto God, I don't know, I have experienced this. Difficulties after difficulties, but for some reason, you have this peace in your heart that you can sleep through the night in spite of what's been happening around. Other people will be awake until morning when the alarm clock sounds off. But you, who has this in your heart, you know Jesus will pull through. You will have that peace that other people may not understand. How can you do this? How can you go through this? How can you not be bursting out? How can you still be calm? Because Jesus is the one. And then, of course, supply. You're lacking something. God will be our good supplier. And last for this thing. Again, going through seasons of life, you may not be able to explain, understand, but know this, that all that we are going through are all preparation for something good in the future. God did not promise, say, and we know that for those who love God, God did not say, only good things are working together for you, right? Only good things will happen into your life if you submit to Jesus. No. If you submit your life to God, he says, all things work together for good. Be it ups and downs of life, these are all weaving together, right? For our good. It's not that all good will always happen when you submit yourself unto the Lord. No. God will orchestrate everything. It may not be, you may not be able to understand, you may not be able to explain, but hang on to it. Watch out. It may take a while, but all these will work together for your good and for his purpose. There's always this purpose why you have to go through it. Amen. Still with me? All right. So, we have those facilitating questions, right? Now, as you, I don't know about you, but as you try to dig in and hear the word, try it. It will draw you more into, hey, I want more of this, right? It may draw you to, hey, I want to learn more. At some point, you will not be satisfied with one scripture alone. You will start to dig into maybe a context of the chapter or maybe a full chapter. One time, my disciple would encourage me, hey, daily read 5 chapters of Psalm and a chapter in Proverbs, and then finish John as well in, like, I think 1 month. Just, how can I do that? It's not possible, right? But then when I start digging in, it draws me, oh, yeah, I can do 5 chapters because it's very interesting. It's very encouraging. It strengthens my faith, right? So now, facilitating questions. As you go more than one verse, let's dig in deeper. A very familiar verse. We always use this. Like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, right? But what do we really know about this? Some questions that you would throw in here is, what did the original author intend to convey to his readers of this passage? This was written thousands of years ago, right? But right now, it's still very applicable. What we always refer to this, right, to encourage us. What role does this text play in the whole Bible? Key word there, I think, is a shepherd. Right? Why do we always refer to shepherd? Even in the New Testament, Jesus used this reference, that the sheep will always hear the voice of the shepherd. Was the message meant for those people at that time, thousands of years ago? Or does the message transcends generation, right? These are the things that start to drill deeper into the Word of God, that you will read all these full chapters now, knowing, say, for example, shepherd, what is the relevance of shepherd into my current modern time situation, right? I'm not a sheep, definitely, right? But then again, in reference, if the Lord is my shepherd, for one, I'm assured that wherever I am, there will always be green pastures. There will always be water. Maybe on the secular definition, the pasture is not as green, the water is not as abundant, but then again, the shepherd brought you there because he knows that there's enough for you. Another thing, as a shepherd will not bring the sheep into that area and then wait for it to run out for finding out another pasture. The shepherd, while their sheep is eating, whatever, enjoying the sun, right? He's looking out. Where else can I go? Where else do I bring this? Is there some danger around here that I need to be mindful of? That's the role. That was thousands of years ago, and this is still applicable to us. Why are you in Canada? Why are you in Toronto? Why are you in U of T? Do you think this is greener pasture for you? You think there's enough water here for you? Is it drying up for you? Could be, I don't know. But one thing's for sure. The Lord Jesus, who is our shepherd, knows very well. This is the right time for you to be here. If you need to go out and move somewhere, the Lord will challenge you. They will like poke you. Hey, it's time to go. You go there because I know I went ahead of you. I know it's better there. That's your better life. But while you're here, be assured you have your purpose here. You are here for a reason, and this is the time that you should be here. Right? Next, third point. Show yourself strong. Going through difficulties of life, all bruises and pains, okay, it's not for nothing. As you keep on drawing water, strengthening yourself all through seasons of life, okay, it will only strengthen you. I think, as I mentioned, one thing's for sure, the water will not really completely dry out. It will always be there. Just keep on drawing from that water. Imagine this. As you continue drawing water from the streams, right, this is what's going to happen. As you keep on searching hunger and thirst for God, for His revelations, for His work in our lives, this is what's going to happen. It's inevitable. We will grow. We will bear fruit. And if you see this, what does it tell you? Wow, huge tree, right? I can imagine how the trunk size, which reflects how old it was and how strong it is underneath. And can you imagine the network of branches? Okay, the coverage. Like if you are like on a park, it draws you closer. I know I can lean on this. I am safe against the elements. I am protected. I am covered. Right? This is what a context of the magnitude, shall we say. I think those colors there are the shape of a park bench. So if you're out here, imagine that park bench. Those are the colors there. That's how big the tree is. And you might say, that cannot be me. No. As we go along with our search for God, as we draw near to Him, we can all be like this tree. And it's an assurance for God. So as the tree grows, its natural progression is bearing fruit. It is inevitable. Okay? As fruit is to the tree, it was not for self-consumption as well. We are made strong so that we can bring glory to our God. Okay? The work that He has done in our lives, for one, so that we can give glory unto Him. Number two, so that we can divert, okay, deflect all these people who can witness what's happening to you. We can deflect because God is the one who nourished me and strengthened me. Therefore, I can stand the way I am standing today. And Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are your natural fruit that inevitably will come out of you as you draw unto God. And these are all expressed outwardly. People will start to feel they can lean on us. They can experience joy and peace when they are with us. Okay, goodness and faithfulness, they can prove that God is our great provider. So, in closing, just short testimony. My family and I, like, we went through a lot of challenges, difficulties, like, in the past maybe 10 years. A lot of difficult times during those period before we went here and when we arrived here in Canada. Not many of you knows about it, maybe just 2/3 of you, so not a lot. I mean, I like this, yeah. Not everyone knows how difficult it really is during those moments, during those times. Anyway, so long story short, I shared this to one of my member of the team, on the music team back in the Philippines. So I shared I had difficulties there financially, we're in trouble, etc. And shared to him. And fast forward five years, we're here in Canada already. And then he messaged me, tried to link up with me. Hey, by the way, I heard you had this situation before. I know you have gone through this. He's more of like, hey, can you give me some ideas how to go about this. And I learned that he's almost like bordering depression. Like so, which for me, I'm not really tipping on that boundary of depression at that time. And for me, it's more of, how can you know that I'm that strong enough? Did you know that I was punishing myself. As a father, you know the lies of the enemy in my head. How dare you call yourself father? You cannot even provide perfectly for your kids. You don't even know if you have something to eat over the weekend. You don't even know if we'll survive moving here in Canada. So that's my challenge. How can you become a father, a husband, if you're not able to stand on your own? I was always being supported by someone, my relatives, my mom and dad, my friends. Groceries come, and that's the only way for us to survive and eat. He doesn't know about it. All he knows, hey, you're here, you're there in Canada, maybe you're successful. Yes, I can catch up with you and learn from you. Right? Oh, good. I didn't tell about all the details. Only you can tell. So, I mean, I told. Here's the thing. He was contemplating about suicide. And that's why he's reached out. I thought he was just asking for guidance, but no. He was contemplating about suicide. I was like, that's when I started, hey, dude, just to compare what you're going through, okay, I calculated how much he, because he has also financial difficulties. If we compare the monthly pay against how much he owed, he's probably out like maybe 5 months, considering no other obligations but that debt, right? If he pay all his paycheck, pay out the debt, he has to pay it in 4 or 5 months. I said, dude, mine, I'll probably need like 4 years to pay off the debt, and that's considering I will not feed my kids. I will not pay for my housing, what have you. All my paychecks will come, and it will take 4 years for me to wipe out that debt. Dude, I'm still here. And it's not because I'm strong. It's only because God was there for me every time. When we don't know where we're going to get some food over the weekend, God, a friend will just come by. Hey, I don't know, but God led me to bring you some groceries. Here's what you have. Like 3 times from the car, he had to come back. That's how much we have. I don't know. God pulled through. And those are the seasons of life. Hey, you bend but don't break, just like rap. Bend but don't break. Because God has got your back. Stand your ground on the word of God. He is there for you, and he will be there for you and throughout your generations, my friends. Draw your nourishment from him. You will only know it by reading and meditating on his word. Let me close on this. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. This is him, like, linking up with that Psalm chapter 1. Okay, draw all your nourishments from him. Keep on attaching yourself unto him. We may be going through some pruning in our lives, but that's something that we are being prepared for. If you prune a branch, the outcome will be like 3 more, 4 branches out there. And he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from God, we can probably break up. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. There you go. You can pray correctly. You can pray with substance because you know who you're speaking with. Because you know the promises that you have according to his word. Now you can pray, Lord, I will not fear about anything because you are beside me. You will uphold me by your righteous right hand. Lord, I will not be scared about the, the illnesses I have because you are my healer. You are my provider. And this is not something that you've heard someone speak. You have proven, the word speaks it, and you have proven it yourself. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is, to close, to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And this is the follow the call, if I may come into that. This is our calling in this city. A city whose there's so many ways of praying, so many gods probably, of living their lives. Some of them don't have God. But we can say, hey, I know a God who's really a strength, a protector, a healer, provider. And I can tell you, he's got me. He pulled me through. Right? So, may you draw your strength and wisdom from the Lord and Him alone. So let's all stand up and pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, thank you, God. You're a God who reigns. You're a God who reigns over each and every seasons of our lives. You're the one who knows everything. Even before we speak, even before we express it, you know already what's going on and happening into our lives. Lord, you will pull us through. Okay? You got our back. Lord, we thank you right now. Lord, we surrender ourselves unto you. Lord, stir us up. Lord, stir us up. The hunger and thirst for you and more of you. May we not be living according to testimony or of one or another person. Lord, may we have our own testimony and witnesses because of what we have learned through your word and through our own personal experience and encounter with you. And may that be our strength as we go through the seasons of our life. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.